So we've arrived at the end of our Passover season. Shavuot is upon us, and we are, of course, looking forward to our celebration of our cheesecakes and our dairy food that we've got lined up for lunch today and everything else which goes with that, all those wonderful things. But it's way, way more than all of that, way bigger than all of that, as we know. We began with Pesach. Pesach was the beginning of our salvation, our redemption. I'm the Lord your God who brings you out of Egypt is the name by which he is known, because that was the beginning salvation act, if you like, that beginning of our redemption. But it wasn't just enough that we were brought out of the world, as it were, not enough to be brought out of Egypt. In a sense, Dayenu, it would have been enough just to have been brought out, but that in itself would not have got us very far. If something's been removed, there's a vacuum. And something has to go into that vacuum. The set of values that Egypt was, which Egypt had taught us, the submission to Pharaoh to be mere objects, numbers as slaves, to be used for Pharaoh to build his worldly kingdom with the power which he wielded with that. We were just mere cogs as part of that. And in our heads and in our minds, we've been trained through those generations to think of ourselves merely as just objects to be used and abused and thrown away. Those were the values of Egypt, the values of the world. And before we just think, well, isn't it wonderful that today that is not the case, think again in the world today. It is also the case. There are still people being used around the world like this, and still in our own Western thinking, we use people as mere bits and pieces of cogs of the economy. You know, when the snow falls, what's the first thing that people say? Oh, it cost the economy £15 million of people who stayed at home. How naughty of them to go and throw snowballs. You know? We're more than just cogs in the big economy of the world and its system. But to come out of something means we're walking away from those values, which means we're walking towards something as well. There's something we're changing that with, the values of something we're coming with. And into that vacuum comes as we arrive at the bottom of Sinai. And the Torah is given to us. And the Lord is saying, yes, this is what you had in Egypt. But now, this is what you're going to have in the kingdom of God. It's different. Everything changes at that point. We've become a real nation, a real people now with a new set of values, and it's that set of values which we then take out into the world. And again, we say this, if you say it every single year, it was in the wilderness that the Lord gave us the Torah. It was not in Israel. We were taught the righteous commands in a place which belonged to the world, because that's where we learnt it, and that's where we have to take it back again. As we've heard it with the languages this morning, that is exactly what Adonai has done. He has taken it to the far corners of the earth, translated into every language, which his righteousness reaches out into every tongue, every tribe, and every nation. Because that also is our calling. Our calling and our task. You know, it'd be easy, we could just look at the Torah and just think, isn't it wonderful? It's for us, and we can hug it and we can hold it. And then someone else comes along and they say, no, 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 this is not for you. And in other forms of Judaism, we often hear this being said, you know, the Torah is just for the Jewish people. You're a Gentile. Please go away. This is not for you. But that isn't what the scriptures say. Of what we discover as we read through the scriptures, our calling and our task is exactly this, to be a light unto the nations. A nation of priests standing between Adonai on one side and the world on the other. We are a nation of priests, the priesthood of all believers, which is where the concept comes from, of being the priesthood of all believers, of Israel. This is what we're meant to be. We are the priests, pleading with Adonai on behalf of the nations for their salvation. And as we turn to the nations, we reach to them on behalf of Adonai with the good news of the gospel, of salvation in Yeshua Mashiachenu. Because Shavuot is harvest time. Shavuot is about harvest. And it means we have to step outside our barriers, the barriers in our heads, the barriers we've been taught, the barriers that our people experienced in the first century, where people were still saying, no, the God is the God of Israel. Let the other gods of this world, they can talk to all the other people, the nations and the tribes and whatever. This is the God of Israel, attached to the soil and the territory of Israel. This is who our God is. And then the Lord comes and says and gives visions, as we know, in Acts 10 with the sheep coming down and so on. Visions and revelations of people saying, yes, I am the God of Israel, but I'm also the God of all people. This message of salvation, the truth which is in the scriptures, is not just for Israel. It is for all who call upon the name of the Lord. That's why we read from the book of Ruth at Shavuot. She's one of our most famous converts. She was a Moabite woman, married into a Jewish family. And you know the story well. We've examined it, we've studied it plenty of times. You know, the famine comes upon. And isn't it interesting that Naomi says to them both, you know, go back and worship your gods. And one, of course, says, you're right. It's what I'll do. And Ruth, the brave, the bold, the spiritually courageous, the one who was daring to think outside the box, just said, no, I am not going back. I'm not going back to that paganism and the roots of all of that again. I will go where you go, I will go. Your God will be my God. So help me, nothing will separate us ever again. A declaration of conversion, which has been used down the ages. This was a woman who didn't just accept in her mind that there was a God in Israel. This was a woman who passionately believed in the God of Israel, had faith in the God of Israel, had seen him work, and therefore chose at that moment to follow the God of Israel further and to come right in and join the people of Israel. Her faith brought her in. I say, of course, she was one of our more famous converts, because there is one more, even more famous convert than Ruth that we know, who we can talk about on this day as well. The most famous convert of all is Abraham. Oh, that's good. Well done. You remembered. Abraham Avinu, the most famous convert of all. And there are connections between these two, Abraham and Ruth. Some really interesting connections that link these two together. Abraham, if you remember at the time, turned his back upon what? His culture, family, the paganism, everything else that was going on in Ur there, of the culture that he grew up in, the family he grew up in, how he understood that life operated, the values that went with this, because this is all about values. And Abraham one day gets his revelation, the call of Adonai, and he walks away. Ruth, in the same way, understands who the God of Israel is, turns her back on everything that she'd had up to that point, her family, her gods, the culture, the cultural values, the lifestyle, the way of life, the food that they ate, everything from clothing, you name it, everything which is attached to how she had grown up, she turned her back on that and walked away. Ruth was another Abraham. Another Abraham of her day. Walked away from idolatrous past lives. Hearing and understanding of the one true God. Dedicating their lives to follow this God and his teachings wherever it took them. And I say wherever it took them, because the other thing that links these two is that there was a journey involved. Both of them walked to the land. Their faith moved them. A radical departure. It moved them physically away from one part of the globe towards the land of Israel, to the land of promise, the land that God was saying was ours. There had to be a journey towards that country. And even today when people are coming into Messianic Judaism, they will say, yes, but you know what, I'm quite happy here, I will live there, I'll live there. I mean, this is good, you know, we don't really have to go to Israel. And tell that to Abraham, tell that to Ruth. There was a call and a drawing on their hearts. Because the journey that we are all on, whether you were born Jewish or not born Jewish, the journey that we are on ultimately takes us to the land that God has called us to, our land, our territory, which he says belongs to us because he has given it to us. And that faith they had changed them, moved them physically, moved them, changed them internally, mentally, emotionally. They became part of this new body of mankind that would ultimately be the vehicle through Mashiach, ultimately the vehicle of salvation to all people. Ruth, of course, as we know, was in the line and the descent which took us down to Yeshua himself. Ruth is a hallmark of the one who's heard of the true God, the one true God of Israel, and packs up their bags and leaves and walks and goes to the God of Israel. Wandering strangers on this earth, we will turn our back. And many of us here have done this. Walked out of families, left countries, turned our backs on values and cultures and their systems that are embedded around them, and begun that journey which ultimately will take us to the land, and ultimately to the final land, eternity with Adonai. But that journey is begun wandering around as pilgrims on this world. Doesn't matter what country that we're in, you know, we're looking at the cultures and the values around us, the things that we don't recognize anymore, the things we think are strange, they're different from what the Word of God says. It's reminded of the book of Esther, you know, there's the people amongst us who do different things to us, have different laws, different lifestyles, different practices. This is what the world feels wherever we as Jews are. But it's not just them feeling about us, we feel it about the world. It's not our home. It's not our home. The closest thing we have on this planet to a physical home will be Israel. And we know even that our nation is not perfect. But it's as close as we're going to get to this side of eternity. Aching for that fullness of the spiritual world, for the full reign of Adonai, both Ruth and Avraham departed their native soil, their physical home, moved towards the kingdom of God, Israel in its earthly form. So important that we understand it this way. When God calls us, we are not simply released from this world, but we are set free to go somewhere. A journey that we are on. And the problem is, for so many people, when they talk about being born again, they just see you as being, you know, redeemed spiritually and set free, and you just carry on, as it were, almost as if nothing had changed. Because you're still part of whatever culture you're in, you're still living in whatever culture you're in, you're still allowing that culture to dictate to you with the patterns and rhythms of life, of things that you do, barring maybe one or two things which are so obviously against the scriptures, which you then reject and do away with. But apart from anything else, you just carry on. This is not the depth of being born again. This is not the experience that Abraham and Ruth had at that moment. For them, being born again was a radical departure from everything which had gone before, and a setting out on a journey, a radical call to change their lives utterly for the God of Israel. And yet for many people, when they're born again, it's, I've started to read the Bible, I begin to pray, I start to go to a congregation, and I become nicer than I was before. But we're talking about a radical call of God here. A radical call of God. When Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, go back to your God, she knew what she was saying. Leave, don't follow me to what I am as a Jewish woman. Don't come to where I am. You stay where you feel comfortable. Stay with your pagan deities and your culture and your systems and structures in which you grew up and which you felt so much at home. And only Ruth had the courage to say, but this is not good, this is not right, it is not what the God of Israel wants, and I will abandon my former life and do what God wants. This is a radical call to discipleship. A radical change of life. A setting free to be free to do something else, different from what you've grown up in and what you've understood as what life is all about. Her conversion, Ruth's conversion to the God of Israel at that point, was to break with her past family, culture and everything. And she walked away from this What changed in her life was loyalty. Now she was loyal to the God of Israel. Committed to the God of Israel. And this word has never changed. When we meet Yeshua, when we come face to face with who Yeshua is, the salvation and redemption which is His, that call of Adonai is still as radical today as it ever was. And the God of Israel says to each and every one who calls upon His name, but will you be loyal to Me? Will you respond to Me with everything in your heart, strength and soul? Will you love Me that way? Anything from your background which is holding you back, which is contrary to that radical path which He wants us to walk, will you have the loyalty to stick with the God of Israel? Or will you still hanker after those things that you grew up with, in whatever culture it may be? And you know the problem is, even for our people, as we were moving through those wilderness years, a handful of people entered the land who had also left Egypt. How many died in the desert? Difficult to put a number on. But because of the lack of faith, the lack of ability to be loyal in that sense, the lack of ability to walk that radical path, Joshua and Caleb, as we know, entered the land as two people in whom there was a different spirit, a spirit which was utterly loyal to the God of Israel, come what may. And they were willing to let everything go, to sacrifice everything which was holding them back, everything of the cultural values, the cultural truths, of everything they'd grown up in. They were willing to make that break. And how many are willing to make that break? Because we want to still keep hold of things. Keep hold of those things in our past. But that's who I was. That's where I grew up. That's who I am. I can't change that much. Tell that to Ruth. Because she changed that much. Abraham changed that much. Every single one who's responded with the radical call of Adonai to live out that sacrificial life of love towards our God. Each and every one has said yes to God in that way. Not counting anything, the loss they've had, counting it as rubbish, as Shaul would say. To walk away from it all. To know the blessings and the richness of that walk in Adonai. I've got news for you. Your life is meant to change when you accept Yeshua. You are not meant to be the same. And if a year later you are still the same person without changing much in your life from what you were before, then it's right to come alongside and say, I'm beginning to doubt that you were ever saved. Your life is meant to change. You are not meant to be the same person. If you carry on upholding the same values as you had before, same lifestyle that you had before, and nothing really has changed, then you have to ask the question, to whom am I now loyal? Am I loyal to the God of Israel? Or am I still loyal to the country that in which I grew up? Am I still loyal to that country's values? You know, it's a bit of a wake-up call. If you've got children in the school in this country, I'm sure by now, if you're studying in a university or college in this country, I guarantee you one of the things that you would have come across recently in the last few years, you've been given a set of British values. And I've heard believers going on about how wonderful British values are and upholding British values and so on. The God of Israel has something to say about the British values. They are not His values. I'm sorry if that sounds radical to you, but this is radical. I stick by the values of the Kingdom of God. Those are my values. Because what you discover as you go down into the drill, down into the small print of the British values, is a tolerance of everything, an acceptance of different lifestyles, sexualities and genders. It's all in there. You need to go away and download it and read it. It's all in there. The British values that we're being encouraged to accept and adopt are not the values of the Word of God. We need the values of the Kingdom of God. in our lives. Anything else is going to come short. This world is on a collision course with our God. We see it in the way the nations treat Israel. We see it in the way that truth is being eroded. We see it in the way that morality is being binned left, right and centre. It doesn't matter what country you are in. Countries of the world are in trouble right now because they are rejecting the values of Adonai. We need to get back to the Word, back to the truth, back to the values of the kingdom. Challenging people for a path of radical discipleship and change in our lives. Yeshua told a parable similarly to this and with the same kind of truth and understanding of all of this. The parable, of course, of the pearl of great price, the pearl of great value. The one question which comes out from this parable is, what are you not willing to surrender to get that one pearl of great price? If you knew it was in a field, would you go and buy the field? What if the field was £2 million? If there was something you had to do to get that pearl, what would you do? What would you not do if you absolutely, desperately in your heart needed it, wanted it, desired it above all else? Is there nothing that you wouldn't sacrifice at that point? God is calling us to a life of sacrifice. He's calling us to a life of radical discipleship and change. What wouldn't you surrender? That's what I'm asking you this morning. Where are your values? What are you holding on to? Culture. The way the economy works. The way your life works. The way life works. As you've learnt it and understood it all your life. Have you ever allowed the Lord to challenge those things? Because this goes deep. What would you not surrender? Is there an area in your life that you are unwilling to change? Because you feel that you can't? Because it's so much a part of who you are? How you grew up, what you experienced as you were growing up? That you feel you can't? It's too much, it's too difficult, it's too much of a challenge, and the God of Israel says it's going to change. Because he will go into that place. There is not a single area in your life right now that God is not able to change. Our problem is we hold on to it. Because it's our comfort blanket. It's our duvet. It's the place we hide in when we feel we have to run. But God is looking for a deeper loyalty than this. Looking for a deeper loyalty. Your loyalty to God is primary. It is above everything else, and I mean above everything else. Because if you are putting anyone or anything in a higher place than God, you are idolatrous. And he will remove it. If our passion for him is not first and foremost above all other people, situations, everything else in our life, if he is not number one in this way, then we are committing idolatry to him. And I tell you, he will deal with that. And he will break it. Our God is a jealous God. And he will have no rivals in our lives. If you do not put him first above everything else, then he will challenge that place in your life. It'll be uncomfortable, but he will challenge it. With every breath that we are, we should seek him. To love the Lord our God with all our strength, all our might, all our soul, all our power, all our wealth, everything that we have. The scriptures say we should love him above all else. Because everything else is splitting the loyalty. Divided loyalties, divided values. And such people will struggle to live in the kingdom of God, the real kingdom of God. If your heart is divided, you will struggle to be in that place. My God is my all. I'm declaring it today. He is my all. He's my number one. He will always be my number one. Because whatever else may change in my life, my God is unchanging. And whatever else may change, I will wake up in the morning and my God will still be my God. And I will still walk with Him wherever it takes me. Because He is still my God. And this is what Abraham and Ruth realized. They knew this. They had experienced God. And when you've experienced God, there is nothing else in your life to compare. He takes your heart and He doesn't let it go. Abraham and Ruth were willing to walk for miles and miles and miles through difficult terrain, leaving cultures, family, background, languages, experiences, leaving it all behind, all for the sake of the God of Israel. Is that what you will do? Is that what you're willing to do? Because Shavuot is this message which goes out to the nations. It's the harvest of the nations. It's not just for us in Israel. The fact that everyone was speaking tongues on that day, as we'll talk a bit more about this at conference next week, but the fact that everyone was speaking tongues that day in the languages, the known languages of the world, was a challenge to us to take this good news out to the nations. To see people born again. To see them saved and redeemed, but not to leave them there. But to say to them too, your journey has just begun. Will you walk to the God of Israel? Will you keep that journey going to the God of Israel? Will you allow Him to change who you are, that your very identity changes, that you come in so fully to the people of God, the people of Israel, that you are so fully integrated into His people, that the only thing that people will say about you is what they said about Ruth. Ruth the Moabitess, because there was a time when that was who she was. But that's not who she is now. Ruth was so Jewish that she was ended up in the line of descent of Yeshua our Messiah. That's how Jewish Ruth became. Yeah, she wasn't born in Israel. She didn't grow up in that culture. But it became her home. It became her culture. It became her life. Our people became her people. But no one could see the difference anymore. It's a radical message. A message of radical righteousness. The righteousness of the scriptures, the righteousness of Torah, the commandments. It'll form and frame your life if you so let it. And the question that we deal with, and the final question I want to leave you with, ultimately is this. It comes down to this loyalty again. Who rules in your life? Who rules in your life? When you make those decisions, when you make those choices, who rules in your life? And will you choose for Him above all else? I mean, above all else. Will you put Him first? Even when the things of this life crash against it and demand your attention and are clamoring to be first in your life, will you push them down and say, no, my God is first? Will you be that radical? Will you be the one who says, let the dead bury their dead? You know, will you be the one who, in those crazy situations, makes decisions for God, which the world screams at you are wrong, but you know in your heart are right? Because it's that radical call of discipleship. Because you cannot do anything else than put Him first and let Him be first in your life. This is what God is calling us to. I'm not saying it's easy, because it is not. But there are people who leave countries for the God of Israel. who change nations for him, whose hearts are set on this journey towards the promised land of Israel, because deep and down inside there is that knowledge. It's my home and it's where I am going, because that's where the God of Israel is taking me with his people. It's a radical call of discipleship. Who rules in your life? What is there that you are not willing to surrender right now to respond to that radical call of that journey, that trajectory, which is all of our trajectories? Who rules? The God of Israel? Or is it your own heart that rules? Is it your own life that rules? Your own mind, your intellect that rules? Who rules? And when you've answered that question, the rest will fall into place. But it's a question that we all have to answer. Amen.